she liked that less well. Without Brunn, she would never reach the Vale, she knew. The sellsword was as fierce a fighter as she had ever seen, and his sword had helped cut them through to safety. Yet for all that, Catelyn misliked the man. Courage he had and strength, but there was no kindness in him, and little loyalty, and she had seen him riding beside Lannister far too often, talking in low voices and laughing at some private joke. She would have preferred to separate him from the dwarf, here and now. But having agreed that Marillion might continue to the Eyrie, she could see no gracious way to deny the same right to Bronn. "As you wish," she said, although she noted that he had not actually asked her permission. Sir Willis Wode remained with Sir Roderick, a soft-spoken septant fussing over their wounds. Their horses were left behind as well, poor ragged things. Sir Donal promised to send birds ahead to the Eyrie and the Gates of the Moon with a word of their coming. Fresh mounts were brought forth from the stables, sure-footed mountain stock with shaggy coats, and within the hour they set forth once again. Catelyn rode beside her uncle as they began the descent to the valley floor. Behind them came Bronn, Tyrion Lannister, Marillion, and six of Brynden's men. Not until they were a third of the way down the mountain path, well out of earshot of the others, did Brynden Tully turn to her and say, "So, child, tell me about this storm of yours."